this meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Today is Friday, April 28th. Senator Monroe is excused this morning, and there's one item on our agenda, federal grant application request, Department of Environmental Quality, that will not be heard today. We will postpone that to a future meeting. I'm opening a work session. House Bill 5023, Medical Board, Senator Steiner Hayward, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 5023 is the budget bill for the Oregon Medical Board. The board, which is funded entirely by fees on the regulated medical professions, ensures that only qualified individuals are licensed to practice medicine in Oregon. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends a budget of $12,941,528 other funds and 40 positions. This recommendation includes funds for the establishment of an investigative staff position and one-time seed money to support the development of local physician wellness programs. The subcommittee also recommends adoption of the agency's key performance measures as presented. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5023 be amended by the Dash 1 Amendment and be reported out due pass as amended. And under an abundance of caution, I should point out that I am licensed by this board.
Yes, Senator Trott.
Yeah, could I have staff come up? I have a couple questions. Saved your bacon, yeah. And the question, and I'll ask these of the boards, is what's the ending fund balance in months?
He's got co-chairs, Senator Girard, the medical board has an ending balance of about $6 million, which is equivalent to about a year's operating reserve.
And then the second question is, this budget's up 11.4%, which is quite a bit above inflation. What's the rationale for that?
The board had a number of policy option packages, which are listed there in the work session report, but also we pull out the statewide adjustments, which also has the impact of increasing the budget above the current service level.
Other discussion? Objections? Motion passes. We're moving on now to a work session on House Bill 5024, Board of Nursing. Representative Rayford.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 5024 is the budget bill for the Oregon Board of Nursing, which is supported entirely by other funds. The bill continues the board's budget at the current service level and adds funding for two permanent positions to address increased workload in licensing and investigations. These positions have been approved in May 2016 on a limited duration basis by the emergency board. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends a budget of $17,045,999 other funds and 49 position. This budget will result in a projected ending fund balance of $4.1 million, supporting just under 6 months of operating expenses. The subcommittee also recommends adoption of the board's key performance measures as presented. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5024 be amended by the Dash 1 Amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Discussion? Yes, Senator Johnson.
Just a question. During the course of the budget hearings the concomitant discussion of key performance measures, were there any discussions about, for lack of a better word, customer satisfaction? Are the people being served by this board satisfied with the level of service that they're receiving now? Because I know this board had gone through a pretty rocky period where there was a lot of antagonism between the board and the cohort of people responsible to the board.
Yeah. And it was, based upon the presentation, actually, the two boards that we talked about, the medical board and the board of nursing, seemed to be doing very well, at least from a consumer satisfaction. The Senator Steiner Hayward can also comment on it as well, but I actually felt as though things were in a positive space.
follow-up, Madam Chair. I have struggled with this from time to time because it appeared that practitioners that our Board of Nursing went after could easily be licensed in Washington. And I don't know whether Washington has lesser standards or whether or not there had been some selective discipline. My district borders the state of Washington, and so I would hear about this frequently. And I was just curious to know whether or not there was a better relationship between the people regulated by this board and the board. And you've answered my question for the purposes of this morning.
Thank you.
Other discussion? Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, was there any discussion? I think it was the e-board. Don't remember. But anyway, there was a nursing board decision made about certifying the ITT curriculum for nursing, and we know what happened there. And this body approved spending a considerable amount of money to get a number of those nurses through a program in connection with PCC. Was there any discussion about, because there's a significant end-of-fund balance for the nursing board, did we talk about maybe sweeping some funds to help pay for that mistake?
So, Representative, Mr. Rocco likes to use the term reappropriating. Isn't that right?
Wasn't that
Rocco?
What I said? I'm sorry.
Yeah, so sweeping. You use the term sweeping.
I use that when Democrats do
it. Reappropriating for a better and higher purpose.
No.
Higher purpose, Mr. Gutierrez.
I don't believe that came up, but my memory is blank on those topics. I don't recall that being an issue at all.
I don't either. No.
I guess that someone is making a note of this.
I apologize, Madam Co-Chair. I should not have been asleep when this budget was up in your subcommittee, and I should have brought that up. Thank you.
We were aware of the ending fund balance, but the topic of what to do with it is not something that came up. Okay.
Senator Devlin, to further clarify, reappropriating?
No. Staying away from that. On the customer service, looking at the key performance measures for the Board of Nursing, they all appear to be between 86 and 91%. The one thing I wonder about in the key performance measures, though, is we've gone to this shorthand that says rather than the year that the result is the last reported result. Can you explain that? Because I think if a last reported result simply means the previous year, that's one thing. If they haven't actually done a customer service survey, I'm not saying they haven't. In 6 years, it doesn't mean the same thing.
Mr. Chair, they're required to do that every cycle, so it's at least every 2 years. I'm not exactly sure. But.
Okay.
And they do have to submit an annual performance report, which is much more detailed than what you get in the Ways and Means process, but it's available on the Transparency website and other places.
Other discussion or questions? Objections? Motion passes. That closes the work session on House Bill 5024. We now move to agency reports, Business Development Department. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Colleagues, on April the 20th, the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommended acknowledging receipt of a report from the Oregon Business Development Department requesting authorization to use $60,000 of existing lottery bond proceeds for the Rainier Rail Project. 2 years ago, the state issued $9 million of lottery bonds to support 8 specific regional solutions projects. Of this total, $2 million was approved to fund improvements to the rail corridor within the city of Rainier. A portion of the bond proceeds designated for other projects has remained unspent, however, because those projects did not move forward for a variety of reasons. The Oregon Business Development Department requested approval to use $60,000 of these unused proceeds to supplement support for the Rainier Rail Project to increase total lottery bond support for that project to $2,060,000. The project will provide safety and other upgrades to a rail line, street, and sidewalks in the city of Rainier in order to separate automobile and pedestrian traffic from active train traffic. The project also supports underground utility and stormwater system upgrades for the project. The additional funds would be used for contract services to assist the city in managing its portion of the project and thereby allow the project to successfully move forward. Your Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends approval.
Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. The next agency report, Judicial Department Change in Use of Courthouse Capital Improvement Fund, Senator Winters.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On April 25th, the Public Safety Subcommittee recommend acknowledging receipt of a report from the Judicial Department requesting authorization to use $500,000 of state court facility and security account funds allocated in the 2015-17 biennial budget for capital improvement to the Douglas County Courthouse. 2 years ago, the legislature approved $3.5 million for specified courthouse capital improvement projects. A portion of the funds designated for those projects has remained unspent. However, because the project came in under budget or did not move forward, the Judicial Department requested approval to redirect $500,000 of the available funds for capital improvement in the Douglas County Courthouse. The funds will be used to replace the fresh water plumbing system. The courthouse's hot water pipes are unusable and have been turned off for 10 years. The project will restore colleagues' hot water to the building and will also replace the cold water pipes that are nearing the end of their useful life. The Douglas County project is the highest priority in the ranking of courthouse improvement projects that OJD developed with the assistance of the Association of Oregon Counties. Your Public Safety Subcommittee recommends approval, and colleagues, we saw the pipe, and I have to tell you, it's probably one of the most gross I've seen in a long time.
Thank you for expanding on the printed comments. Senator Johnson.
Colleagues, I would just make the editorial comment that this is probably Exhibit A in deferred maintenance.
Thank you. Other discussion or questions? Objections? Motion passes. Moving on to Department of Human Services, IDD Direct Care Compensation, Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On April 25th, the Human Services Subcommittee recommended acknowledging receipt of a report from the Department of Human Services on action taken to increase compensation for direct care staff serving people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The department's 2015-17 budget included an increase in rates for most intellectual and developmental disabilities service providers. To clarify intent on how providers were to use the additional dollars, a budget note directed that compensation for direct care staff should be increased by at least 4%. The note also required providers to present their related action plans during the 2016 legislative session and for DHS to report this session. Information collected by the department indicates all provider agencies increased salaries and or benefits. The report includes a summary of plans, actions, and wage increase examples organized by provider type. These consist of supported living, group home, and employment / community inclusion services. The majority, about 70% of direct care staff work group homes. Reported wages for these employees averaged $11.85 per hour at the time data was submitted to the agency. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval.
Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. The final agency report, Oregon Health Authority Emergency Department Boarding of Psychiatric Patients, Representative Rayfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On April 25th, the Human Services Subcommittee recommended acknowledging receipt of a report from the Oregon Health Authority on boarding of psychiatric patients and emergency departments in Oregon. As a result of a budget note, the Oregon Health Authority contracted with the Oregon State University's Go Beavers College of Public Health and Human Services to conduct a study, including data analysis and interviews of key stakeholders. The report included factors contributing to the problem and proposals for potential solutions. The study concludes that emergency department boarding in Oregon is comparable to other states. Using a definition of boarding as more than 24 hours in the ED, about 0.5% of the total ED visits, or 3,504 patients, experience boarding during a year. of patients who visited the ED for psychiatric purposes, 14.6% stayed in the ED for longer than 6 hours, and 3.5% stayed for longer than 24 hours. Several contributing factors were identified, including limited outpatient treatment capacity, limited or underutilized alternatives to emergency departments, challenges in discharging patients to community settings, and inadequate capacity for more intensive treatment settings. The report brief includes 10 actions that the agency has or will be taking to address these issues. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval.
We have a reaction.
Oh, man, look at those hands all over.
Yes, Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you very much. I would just point out to my colleagues that there were a lot of distressing things about this report, to say the least. One of the most distressing to me, because this legislative body voted on mental health parity for commercially insured patients some years ago, was the fact that being on Medicaid resulted in a 2.7-hour, on average, shorter stay in the emergency department because of the availability of services for people on Medicaid compared to the availability of people on commercial insurance. There are a bunch of findings from this report that my subcommittee chair and I are very concerned about and will be following up on. There is also now a joint work group between the Oregon Health Authority and the Department of Consumer and Business Services looking into the issue of mental health parity. And I know this is a subject that is near and dear to all of our hearts. And I am putting it out there so that you're aware that this issue is there and that this joint group, we plan to be meeting with representatives of this joint work group to start to understand their work a little bit better and figure out how the legislature can push to ensure that people with commercial insurance have equal access to mental health services that are so critically important for Oregonians' well-being. So I just wanted to put that out there for people.
Senator Johnson.
I just want to thank you very much for that, both of you. I just want to comment that while you mentioned in your carry that it was a matter of hours in an emergency room department, for those of us that represent rural places, and particularly with juveniles where there are no alternatives, I worked a constituent case where there was a juvenile in Astoria's emergency department for 6 days. Yep. With no alternative placement, and had it not been for the intervention of Dr. George Brown at Legacy, I don't know what would have happened to that young woman. She was violently acting out, was well beyond the ability of the ED staff to control it, did a lot of damage, just physical damage, in the emergency department. But I would call to your attention, for those of us with no community support options, it isn't hours, it's days.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. 6 weeks ago, I was able to help bring closure to a 33-day hold
at
Mid-Columbia Medical Center.
Senator DeBoer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to concur with Senator Johnson that in Jackson County, due to some difficulties between the CCO and the county, that we're seeing the exact same problem, and we're spending hundreds of thousands compared to thousands, and we need alternatives to get them out of the ER.
Quick follow-up, if I may, Madam Chair. I'm sorry. Senator Frederick, I apologize.
Senator Frederick.
Thank you. Having had to deal with family members who have been in the emergency rooms, in every emergency room in the Portland area, this is a concern. This is something that I've had to deal with directly. We've had some things change over the last few years. One is that we now actually feed the folks who are in the emergency room. For a while, emergency rooms were not bringing meals to the folks who are there for a while. that changed. We also now have a situation where people, when they are released from hospitals, are the family members or friends are given some kind of instructions on what to do. Once they leave, if they broke their leg, they would have said watch for swelling. And for a time when they were in the emergency room for mental health issues, they were often not told what to do or what to look out for. That is changing as well. This is something that I'm really pleased to see us starting to do something more about, because the parity issue is severe. And having dealt with several friends as well who are in rural communities, this is. Yeah, we desperately need to have this kind of support. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Steinfeld.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I apologize, Senator Frederick, for interrupting. I should point out that we also had two full days of hearings this week in the Human Services Subcommittee on the issue of mental health services, the first day with the Oregon Health Authority testifying, the second day with the CCOs and counties testifying. They were edifying hearings, to say the least. If anybody really wants to dive into this, I think they're well worth taking a look at, the recordings of them. And there were a lot of tough questions and thoughtful questions asked. I want to call out the work that's being done in Klamath County, where they have taken some really innovative steps to pull together a wide range of community organizations, leverage a bunch of different funding pools, and I think this is exactly the kind of model. It may not work in every community. It's not clear that it can be brought to scale because Klamath is unusual in certain ways, but it's an example of a rural community taking a range of different resources and leveraging them to really improve the outcomes for members of its community, and I really want to commend them for their work.
Senator Roblin.
Thank you. I've been called to our hospital on a number of occasions to have conversations. They don't have an answer, but the reality is a number of these patients are in for up to 6 months in some of our hospitals in rural areas, and they are paid for the first eight, because the first eight, they've identified that the real issue is mental health, even though they have diabetes and all this other kind of stuff. But once that diagnosis is made, even though they're stayed there and they can't find a place to put them, they don't get reimbursed for all those other days, and they spend a lot of fat people. I mean, oftentimes this is 24-hour care in a hospital that's not prepared to give them the care they need, months at a time. And it is a big bottom-line issue with respect to a lot of our rural hospitals.
Thank you.
So I hope we figure out some kind of solution.
Any other discussion? Objections? Motion passes. That concludes our work. Our work is concluded for today. The meeting's adjourned.
Sure.
Rayfield?